This is right into it. We're going to have fellowship afterwards. And, you know, this has been a tough time coming, knowing that this would be our last service. And I promised you I'd do my best to hold the tears tonight, until tonight, but we're going to do our best to get through this without, crying too much. I was packing up my office yesterday. And many of you know, if you've been in my office, I like books, and I've got a lot of boxes. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for all those boxes, brother. He's like the mysterious box delivery man. I'd look out there on the porch, it'd be a stack of them. Amen. So anyhow, I appreciate those boxes. And it hit me as I was kind of getting my things together out of that office. Man, it just hit me hard. Just thinking about the many hours I've sat in that office and sought the face of God and kept my Bible open, and I've grown over the years. I came here at 26 years old, and I don't dare deceive myself to thinking you had that great of a pastor. That's a lot I didn't know, a lot I still don't know, but I know this, I have grown and developed, and I am better for being here at this church as your pastor, and we have grown together. Church, we have navigated some waters, have we not? We have navigated some waters. We've been through some tough times, some happy times. Last night, as you know, and maybe to some of your delight, you can have your church back now, but me and my family have been staying out here a lot. And so we, last night, me and Holly got the kids down, and we came up here, and we just sat in this sanctuary, and we cried, and we cried, and we cried. And just sitting here, and we're talking about all the good memories, and I thought about even about Brother Lee sitting there on the end of that pew. It's just the day I told him that, I felt the Lord leading me to go elsewhere. And just how we cried together, and he's gone on to be with the Lord. But anyhow, just we've cried and we've prayed, and we know we're in the will of God. And we know that you're going to be better off because you're in the will of God. And we'll also continue to pray for Landmark as well in that transition. It's nice to have Lori and Danielle here tonight. I know they were a little apprehensive about coming, but I'm glad they're here. And I told her tonight, I said, these tears is not that I don't like you all. That's not the case. It's just that I do love them, but I also love you all here as well. And I believe pastoring, I think you need to be 100% invested in your congregation. And I'm a firm believer in ministry being knitted to the people in your church. And I've done my best to do that. I've tried my best to connect with just about everybody here as much as life would allow. Obviously, you can get closer to some others than other people. It's just the way life is. But I know that God has given me wonderful friends here, and God is so good. I remember the first time I heard about this church, my dear friend, Brother Israel Ochoa. I've told you this before. I got on Facebook one day, and there was an advertisement, Israel Ochoa preaching in Hampton, Virginia. And I thought to myself, where in the world would he be preaching in Hampton, Virginia? Being we're from Edenton, I did not know of a lot of conservative churches, Pentecostal churches. And so I called him up. I said, brother, I said, do you realize you're going to be like an hour and 15 minutes away? He said, I didn't know that. So I remember coming and supporting him. That was the first time I'd stepped foot in this building. Had no clue at that time that I would be your pastor. I was just being a visitor. I was evangelizing at that time as the Lord would allow through his sovereignty, his dealings. We would end up coming here. But before that, I could take you to the place where the Lord laid this church on my heart. I was in Tatum, Texas, preaching a revival for Holly's uncle. And I remember just praying that morning, and strangely, out of nowhere, this church just came to my heart and mind. I visited it, and it just came to my heart and mind. And excuse me, it was before I came here and visited this church. I knew Brother Israel was coming, but what I felt for the church was just different. And I didn't know how all that was going to work out. Long story short, we ended up coming here and preaching. That first meeting for y'all, we ended up coming back and preaching. And I remember that first Sunday, I believe it was, if my timeline is correct. It was before I became your pastor, but I was here on a Sunday morning. And I remember standing right there, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this was a very personal prayer. I said, if it is your will for me to come here and pastor this church, I said, Lord, if you would, let me just see some demonstration, a witness of the Spirit. And I'll never forget that morning, the Lord began to move. Some of you may not remember this as well as I did because it meant so much to me at that moment. And the Lord began to move. And I remember Pastor Glenn was standing right here. And I even prayed at that moment. I said, Lord, if it's your will for me to be at this church, and just praying to myself, I said, let him turn and asked me to come and exhort the people. That's exactly what he did within a few seconds. And Sister Parnell, I'll never forget it. Brother Carl was over there rejoicing in the Lord and shouting, different ones. And it was like in that moment in time, God spoke to my heart that what he wanted to do, it was to instill Pentecost even further in your hearts. And I look back over my notes. I have preached about the Holy Ghost a lot in this church. I remember when I first got here, y'all probably thought that was the only subject I knew. But really, it's what the Lord was leading me to preach. And I remember just preaching those things and how God was just blessing and moving in all of our lives. My first Sunday here was March the 9th, 2014. Does anybody remember what I preached? We could have had trivia today and you could get a reward. Amen. My first message here I preached was testimony, or the testimony of the shepherds, and about David and about what a shepherd is to be. And I actually went back and I listened to that message a little bit here over the last few days. Number one, I said, boy, he sounds young. And I also said, boy, he's so full of energy, man. So where does that energy come from? I wish I could get some of that back, amen. But I just remember preaching that, and I will come. The message was about this, that different ones like David and different ones were kind of sharing their testimony, how God helped them to shepherd and use them. And I will stand here today and let you know that testimony is still true. Amen. God uses ministers and pastors, and God uses congregations, and he blesses. Last year, one of my seminary assignments, I graduated last December, was that I had to sit down and interview a couple of preachers. One of those was Brother Daniel Woods. I went and spent one day and did an 8-hour interview with him and really talked about a lot of things. And another minister that I interviewed was Brother Glenn Jones here. And I think I slightly helped probe him to write that book, maybe a little bit. Hey, that one he's just about to release. I said, Brother Glenn, you need to write this stuff down. And I think the Lord used somebody else. He's got that thing. It's about hot off the press. So you can get it here. It's going to sell out on Amazon soon. So be sure to get hold to it. Amen. But I remember sitting there with Brother Glenn and listening to his different ministry experiences. And on various occasions, he would talk about how the Lord would lead him to leave certain churches. He didn't know this at that time, but the Lord had already been dealing with my heart where I felt things were going. And he didn't know this, but I gleaned from that. And I remember him making the comment about the church that he left in California. I forget the exact area that was. But he talked about how difficult of a thing that was to do, and how it was that there they were pulling away, and the tears and the crying. And I thought about that several times over the last couple of weeks. This is probably the most difficult thing I've had to do in ministry, is to walk away from this church. Even though I'm excited about going where God wants me to go, this is no complaint with the will of God. But I feel so invested here, and I do love you all. 8 years, 3 months, and 15 days. 99 months and 15 days, 440 weeks, 3,084 days. And are you ready for this? Because you didn't realize you put up with me this long. At least 1,300 sermons and lessons. At least. And that's not including maybe some of the Sunday school hours that I have filled in and taught. You have listened to me a lot. Lord, help you all. Amen. I've said, boy, how they endured me that long. But that many messages that I've been able to stand here and preach and to teach, and I would let you know once again, Abundant Life, it has been a high honor in my life. Thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me grow. And I thought about all the first Sunday dinners. We have put down some food, church. We have put down some food. We've had some wonderful fellowship. The prayer meetings, the men's fellowships. Brother Tom has been the cook the whole time, and Brother Eddie's been helping him in different ones. Had a wonderful time at men's fellowships. Board meetings. We've had some of those. Board meetings, working through things. I want to say here to all the deacons and the board members at large, I know Brother Raleigh at one time and Brother Shane now, brethren, it's been an honor to work with you all. Sister Missy is secretary. We have navigated some stuff. We have been a blessing to many missionaries, the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that we sit there at times crying and rejoicing, knowing that God has blessed this church. I tell you, I could not serve with a better group than I have served with here at this church. I appreciate the deacons of this church. I cannot tell you how many times these men are involved of coming out here and working in the flower beds and just helping make sure things are in order. It's a blessing to have a church to where you know the men are going to step up and help you out, and I have experienced that no doubt here. Visitations, I have got to know Sentara and Riverside Hospital very well. Cannot tell you how many times I've sat down in Riverside Hospital and went to that salad bar. It's a wonderful salad bar. I advertise a little bit there. But I'll tell you, I thought about all the faces, all the different ones I've been able to pray with at their bedside, and I've hopefully been a blessing to them. I've done a couple of weddings, but one that stands out, it's nice to have Jared and Morgan. I'm glad they're still making it, amen, and appreciate them. The many funerals, I would not be able to name all of those. Sadly, we've had a lot more funerals than we had weddings, but nevertheless, we know that's a part of life. And we do thank God that He's been here with His church, and we've seen a lot of people leave this world, and a lot of them go on to glory. I think about baby dedications, counseling, picnics, volleyball. The list could go on and on, what I have shared with you as a church. A lot of tears, a lot of laughter, the occasional disagreement, all right? They happen, but I'm glad to know we're able to work through those disagreements and stay Christians and stay brothers and sisters and to love each other. I'll tell you this, God has been faithful through it all. But more than all the wonderful meals and fellowships I have shared with you, I have enjoyed worshiping God with you all. We have had some good church services, haven't we? We have had some good services. I look back and was thinking of the rejoicing and the wonderful outpouring of God's Spirit that's been here. Again, I've been so blessed to be here. I got a few things I want to say. I could go on memories, could go on for days. And again, we would all agree that saying goodbye is never easy. I like what one person said one time. He said, how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. What he meant by that is that he had a relationship with people where goodbye wasn't an easy thing. I'm kind of glad to know that here tonight there are some tears. There is a little bit of sadness. If all you were rejoicing and clapping that I was leaving, I'd probably feel like a failure. Amen. But I'm glad to know that there is some sadness in the sense that, look, we care for one another and we love each other. My mind was going in the Bible to the Apostle Paul, and he was very adamant to talk about his love for the churches. The Apostle Paul talked about that all the time, how much he loved the church. And there, the church of Philippi, he would say things like this. He's talking to the saints, but he made this mention in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. He called the church my beloved, my joy and crown. It's kind of an interesting thing to reference the church. He called them his beloved, my joy, and my crown. He referenced them to something that was valuable in his life. In Abundant Life, you are that to me. You have been a source of joy. You are my beloved. I've enjoyed serving and being here as your pastor. You know, one thing about ministry is sometimes you have to move away from family. And if anybody's ever had to do that, you know how difficult that can be. Some of you have had to do that for the military and different things. But I remember when the Lord called me to this area, one of the concerns, I said, boy, even though my family's not too far away, you don't necessarily live there. And thankfully, the Lord did send Brother Shane and Sister Kayla here. Sometimes I feel like I overlook them as family, but I consider them church family and family. But at first, I remember thinking to myself, my, I wonder how all this is going to work out. And many other things. I would get advice from people, and some of them told me, you can't go to that church if the other pastor's still there. It would never work out. Well, Brother Glenn, thank you for your example to know that it can work out. But we understand that as I came here, I can let you know that this has become my church family over the years. And Maya, you've been there for me on so many different levels. The meals provided. I thought about the episode of COVID we had a little while back. You know, we'd have to open up the windows and people would put food through the windows or leave it on the steps. But the support that's been there, I could go on and on and on about all of that. The Apostle Paul would say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And I can say without a doubt that here in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, I will always rejoice at your memory. I will always rejoice at your memory. The Apostle Paul would also tell the Philippians church, he would tell them, he referenced their care for him and the act of thanking on behalf of him And again, I would like to say thank you to everybody here for the phone calls, for the support, the cards, the financial gifts, the hugs, the prayers. And I could go on. You opened your home. And I tell you, I believe this to a small extent. Many of you are going to miss me, but I know you're going to miss them babies. I know you're going to miss them babies. And all four of my children were born here. And I tell you, they love this church. And they love you. And I've watched as my children, that nursery there, me and my wife were talking last night as we're walking around, kind of praying, knowing that we're about to leave. And, you know, not saying we can't ever come back, but just it won't be as a pastor. And I thought to myself, and Holly made the comment, said, the kids love that nursery. I said, yes, they do. They enjoy that nursery. And the many memories they have with all you all, those that worked in the nursery, thank you for all that you do. And I've got a few other things I'm going to say, but my wife has got some things she wants to come say here tonight. And again, and I will turn to a text in a few moments and share some thoughts with you briefly. Then what I'm going to do at the end of that, me and my family is going to stand up here, and we want to just shake every hand as you come by, let you know how much we love you. But I want my wife to come and say what's on her heart.
Get a few of those. I wrote some things down just so I could have some clear thought, because it's kind of scattered, kind of emotional. There's so much I could say tonight as I've been thinking about the last 8 years we've been here, but I want to tell you that this is tough. So, like he's already said, it's the toughest thing we've ever had to do. But it's been a blessing and an honor to be your pastor's wife. You all have helped me to grow so much. As Sister Neff has already said, we were just babies when we first came here. I'm not 30 yet, so I'm still a baby to some of you. I remember the very first few times we've even visited here, before we were ever even considered fully the pastor and pastor's wife of the church, that y'all already felt so much like family to us. It was just an immediate, I mean, we were comfortable with you, and we just, it was an immediate connection. We felt like family. I even jotted down here that the people at Costco thought for sure I was Teresa's daughter. And we could not convince them that I was not her daughter. I was her pastor's wife. They still just kind of looked at us like we were crazy. But we've had some wonderful memories together that I will cherish for the rest of my life. As Derek just said, all four of our children have been born here, and you have loved them and treated them like your very own, and I thank you for that. That's meant a lot. I remember talking to a couple in the ministry, and they said that it meant a lot to them, where there was a place that they were pastoring for a certain amount of time, and a lot of their children were born there, and they said it was so hard to leave there because their children being born there, that was their family too. So thank you for loving them and taking care of them and teaching them, scolding them when they needed it. They love y'all so much, and I'm going to make sure that they never forget y'all and all the memories that we have. I wanted to say this, that I have not fought Derek in this decision, even though it's not something that my flesh would just want to do, because I'm a very settled person. When I get somewhere, I like to be there. That's why evangelizing was hard for me. We'd go places, we'd be there and connect with the people for a week, and then we'd have to leave. I'm like, no, we can't leave. So-and-so's got a birthday party we got to go to. I mean, I'm just a very settled person. And so this has not been something just my natural man would want to do. But I do remember before me and Derek ever got married, I said I would follow him wherever he went, even if it meant living in a cardboard box, and we have come very close to that in the last 2 months. I said, Lord, are you trying to test me to see if I really was going to do that? Because that was like 11 years ago. I'd prefer to live in a house with all these children you've blessed us with. But I do know that in my spirit, this is what the Lord wants, is why I've not fought him. Because if I did not feel it in my spirit that we are to leave, I would have dug my heels in the ground and crossed my arms and said, we ain't going nowhere. But I know that this is what the Lord wants, but it still doesn't make it any easier. just as I didn't fully see God's plan on why he sent us here to Abundant Life all those years ago. In time, he has shown us. He has shown me personally. I remember the first couple years we were here, I'm like, Lord, why did you just, why are we here? What was your purpose? And you know, just coming to a church where we didn't know nobody, never been around, you know, why didn't we just keep evangelizing? Why didn't we just live in Africa? You know, I didn't understand the purpose in it. And I specifically remember the night that Matthew and Juanita got the Holy Ghost, that the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, this is why you're there. And there was times and times after, I'd even forgot I'd even prayed that and asked the Lord why he had us here. And there would be other examples, Matthew getting called to preach and many others that their lives had been changed, people getting saved, others that got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he showed me in his time why we were here. So even though I don't see what the plan is for the future right now, I know that in due time, the Lord will let us see what he has in store. Still hard, though. This is still a hard thing. Do not think I'm rejoicing about this in fulls that we're leaving. I do love all of you dearly, and you will be greatly missed. If I could say anything before I go, because there's a lot I wish I could go back and say, but just keep serving God. Continue being the loving and giving church that you've always been to people. I pray that we've touched your lives like you've touched ours. And that you don't forget us, you don't forget our kids, that you pray for us because we're going to be praying for you. I know he said we're going to, you know, come back and visit. It's going to be different, I know, because we're not going to technically be your pastor and pastor's wife. But there's one thing that will never change. As long as we're all serving the Lord, we'll all still be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're still a family, though we may not attend the same church. We're all still a part of the family of God, and I just love y'all, and I thank you for these last 8 years. Like I said, you've done a lot for me. You've done a lot for my family. There's no other church I'd rather raise my kids and brought them into, because y'all brought me some good meals after I had my babies. But I promise we're done having children. But I do love y'all, and I thank you for everything y'all have done for us.
You better be careful. Last time I got this pulpit and said we were not having any more kids. Only to get up here and say that my wife's pregnant again. There was a gasp in the room. And so anyhow, I want you to briefly open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Again, we do love you all. And I just want to share, I am not preaching here tonight. I want to share with you, though, from God's holy, infallible word, some instruction and advice. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20, calls the Ephesian elders together, and he's about to tell them bye. He's about to give, this is what's called the farewell address of the Apostle Paul. Again, Acts chapter 20. I want you to look there, if you would, in verse 17. I'm going to read a good little bit, but again, I will not say a whole lot about each verse. But these are things I think you need to understand and know. Think about this. The Apostle Paul is not going to be able to see these men no more. They didn't have cell phones. They don't have the internet. This is his last instruction to a group he's about to leave. This is exactly what he wants them to know and understand. Look there, if you would, Acts 20 and verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons. Notice what he was doing. And I think this is what every pastor ought to be doing. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews. Notice what he goes on to say. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Did you hear what he just said? I didn't keep anything back from you. I've been searching my soul the last few days, and I've asked the Lord, I guess, the Lord, if there's anything I failed to teach and preach, Lord, forgive me. I've tried to cover some good ground over the years. We've spent a long time, 20-something lessons about the life of Abraham. And we could go on and on about some of the things we've taught here over the years. But I've tried to teach you the whole counsel of God. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I want you to stop there at verse 22. I'm going to Landmark bound in my spirit. The Lord led me here, and I would not leave here unless the Lord released me. I don't play games with the will of God. And as I've told them at Landmark, they would tell you, I said, I'm coming because God has sent me. I'm excited about doing the will of God. I'm excited about what God's going to do there. I'm excited what God's going to do here. But I'm bound in spirit. Verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching, the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Well, I hope that's not the case with you all. Hope you still get to see my face occasionally. Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day. Now think about this. The Apostle Paul is about to charge these men that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I leave here. I've been praying over the last so many days, and I'm serious. Lord, if there's anything I feel like I need to get straight, anything I feel like I need to handle, Lord, let me do that. Why? Because I don't want to be guilty of anything. I want to be pure of the blood of all men. Verse 28. He then gives them instruction, and I would give you this instruction here tonight. This is from Pastor Derek to you all. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice this, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You know what the enemy would love to happen to this church? Things to infiltrate this church and to destroy this church. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 30. Also of yourselves shall men arise. Notice that. He said, you got to watch out for those from the outside coming in, but you also got to watch, make sure on the inside that nobody corrupts or tries to damage the church as well, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, everyone, night and day. And now, brother, I commend you to God. Stop right there. I'm leaving here tonight, and I commend you unto the Lord. You know why? There's no better place to commend you. There's no better hands for you to be in than the hands of God Himself. Again, this is His church. This is His flock. So He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I had coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all the things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this church believes that you are a giving church. Now this is where I really want you to pay attention, verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. I believe that results of true leadership and true ministry is that when somebody has to leave a church, there is a certain sense of sadness that one has to go. And church, I do not feel like anybody special. And I'm telling you, your love, your kindness, your tears, it means the world to me. because I realize that is a sign that the Lord has blessed us and in some small way may have used me to help you. And church, I love you and I thank the world of you. And what we're going to do now, I've asked my wife, if the kids, I don't know where, Chloe and Braxton, if you'll come up here, and Sister Juanita, if you'll pass Darren to Holly here, and I think, is Lydia in the nursery? Yeah, somebody can get little Lydia up here for us. Sister Sharon, if you'll go back and get Lydia. What I would like to do here tonight is me and my family is going to stand right here, and if the church would kind of just filter around, I want to shake your hands, look you in the eyes. We're going to eat pizza in a few moments, but I realize that the pizza may distract us in a few moments. All right, that happens. But I want to make sure I take time to shake every one of your hands that will allow. And I also want to let you know how much we love you and we appreciate you and how much, again, it's no easy way to do this, but other than there's got to come a point in time. I told Holly a little while back, I said, there's going to come a day you got to put a period on it. And tonight we had to put the period there and we have to say our goodbyes. So we love you. So if you would stand and... those are able, and we're going to start on the left side. If you will filter around, and we're going to say goodbye to you.